I want to revisit the topic of self-identity. I've preached on it a number of times, and it's come up in sermons that were on other topics. And it's something that every single person has to deal with. No matter your age, this is something that you're going to be dealing with. Young to old, doesn't matter. You're going to deal with this constantly. But very few people seem to stop and think about it at some deep level, at some significant level. We all wonder about who we are, and we all define ourselves in some kind of a way. And from our definition, from our identity, we get our self-worth. And from our self-worth, we get our identity. So identity and value are tightly related. If my identity is as a pastor, my self-worth will be tied to being a pastor. So if I believe I'm a good pastor, my self-worth will be high. If my self-worth is boosted by you saying, I helped you in some way, then I'll believe I am a good pastor. So they're tightly related to each other. Sadly, we live in a fallen world that encourages all people, everyone, to make up their own identity from within themselves, whatever that means, or from people or things or accomplishments. Find your identity in whatever you want, in whatever makes you feel valuable and important. And when you find that identity, don't you dare let anybody challenge you or change your mind. I saw this self-made identity played out in a few stories that I heard this week. The first one is from a woman named Rachel Dolezal. This was on the news, I saw this. She has identified herself as an African-American for many, many years. She's been on the local news in her hometown speaking about racism and about other racial issues. Rachel has some slight African-American features, but as it turns out, she was born to a completely white set of parents. She is not African-American at all, and it's not in her history or in her genes. Yet when the truth came out, and she was asked if she regretted lying about her race, she said no, because she identifies herself as an African-American. Even though she isn't, she came up with her own identity, which was disconnected from reality. Another story. There is a 20-year-old Norwegian woman named Nano who believes she has a species mix-up. There was a species mix-up when she was born. She was born into the wrong species. So she has corrected it and now identifies herself as a cat. She finds her self-worth in being a cat. And there's more going on here than just a mental illness. There's more than that. One last one. In the UK, there is a six-year-old boy, who has decided that he is no longer a boy, but a girl. Some people connected to the boy and his family said, gender identity is distinctly different from one's biological sex as male and female. In other words, if you're born a boy or a girl, that has nothing to do with your gender identity. One can choose their gender regardless of biology. So, you're not an African American, you're not a cat, you're not a girl, but none of that matters. You can claim whatever identity you want. That's what our world is saying. Now, I know these are some extreme examples of what we hear in culture, but they highlight the principle that the individual is sacred. Our individuality is so sacred that people can decide their identity any way they want, irrespective of reality. This self-determined identity is seen in the life of King Saul, particularly in this passage, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 16, that was read for us. Here, King Saul's identity and self-worth did not come from the Lord, from being chosen by God to be king. His identity, his value came from being the king. His value came from being revered and celebrated and followed by people as king. And what we see in King Saul's life is his longing for identity and value, it was never, ever satisfied. He was not satisfied with what he had. He was chosen by God to be leader of God's people. He's this king of a great nation that was growing, and he had this great military with David as its commander, a commander that brings victories for the nation of Israel, victories for the king. But even then, with all of that, it was never, never enough. He wasn't satisfied because his longing for identity was not in God, but placed in people and in titles. We see his discontentment when his army came back from a military battle. The families meet the army in the city streets. They are overjoyed to see their family and friends return. And in their celebration, they created these songs of joy. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. But King Saul doesn't rejoice with his people because David is receiving recognition. People are so grateful for David's leadership in the military campaign that they celebrate David. But Saul's identity and self-value, they can't handle this. He's the one that's supposed to be celebrated. He's the one that is supposed to receive respect and all these accolades and stand out from the crowd. He's the king, not David. And King Saul is mad because he wants more cheers. He wants the cheers that David is getting. It's never, ever enough. And because it's never enough, everyone is seen as competition to Saul's identity and his value. He can't be happy for David because his heart and his mind and his soul need the cheers that David is getting. And that's because choosing your own identity never satisfies our longing for identity and value. People and titles, they can't satisfy the longing that we all have. No matter how much praise King Saul got, it was never, ever enough because his self-created identity and self-worth was never satisfied. Actually, his self-made identity will always feel threatened and in need of defending. The cheering and the celebration that David received is a personal threat to King Saul. His identity as king, his self-worth as king, is threatened by David's success, by David being cheered. He can't rejoice over David's success because with David being built up, Saul sees himself as being torn down. So his world is in jeopardy. It's falling apart. In Saul's mind, with every line of the song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, Saul is disappearing from the limelight. He's disappearing in importance, disappearing as a somebody. If David is held up, Saul is being pulled down. And so Saul attacks the threat. He has moments of rage where he throws a spear at David trying to kill him, and then assembles a hunting party to find and to kill David. When we place our identity in something or someone, our identity will always, always feel threatened. It's never safe and secure and settled once and for all. It's always searching to stand out. And when it doesn't, when someone else stands out, which is often, our identity and self-worth is threatened. Identity placed in how people look at you, how they treat you, does not work because people always change their minds. Their feelings are always changing. And so you find yourself searching and searching to be better than those that are around you. It's so centered on me and based on me that it can't rejoice in good things happening to other people because it's always filtering things through self. I should get that attention. I want to be like that. I deserve that. I'm better than them. It's a miserable, miserable way to live. Self-made identity and self-worth is never satisfied. Nothing is ever enough, and it always, always feels threatened. Always in need of defending. Never safe and secure. And it can't celebrate other people's joys and accomplishments because it leads us to thinking other people are competition and a threat to having our identity and self-worth boosted. And what's so interesting in this story here of King Saul is that King Saul got his identity wrong, but David got King Saul's identity right. David was correct with Saul's identity and Saul's value. When King Saul assembled a hunting party to track down David and his men to kill them, there was a moment where King Saul was extremely vulnerable. He had gone into a cave by himself to go to the bathroom. When David's men saw this, they said to David, "Now's your opportunity. Today is the day the Lord was talking about when he said, I will certainly put Saul into your power to do with as you wish." David's men and David thought, this is the moment to kill the king, to end his reign, to get rid of this threat against their life. So David snuck up on King Saul in that cave, but he couldn't do it. All he did was cut off a piece of King Saul's robe. And when David's men challenged David on why he didn't end this by killing King Saul, David said in 1 Samuel 24, verse 6, "It is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So for David, King Saul was the king that God chose. God chose him. This is God's anointed one. He's king of God's people. Who is David to kill the one that God chose? David placed King Saul's identity and worth in the Lord. That's where it came from. God was King Saul's source of identity and value, not Saul and not David, regardless of what Saul was doing. And that's what we are to do with ourselves and with others. We need to seek our identity and our value in the Lord. That's where it begins and where it ends. Not in ourselves or in titles or in people or in accomplishments. We don't make up our identity. And just like we don't make up our identity, we don't make up other people's identity and value. But rather, we are to see them as the Lord sees them, regardless of the external. God is the one who defines people. He defines our identity and he defines our worth. When we go outside of God, outside of his word for identity and value, we grab onto anything and everything to prop ourselves up, no matter how disconnected it is from reality. The search for identity and value rests solely in the Lord. It's only there that our longings are satisfied, because it's only in the Lord that we find our unchanging, our eternal value, our purpose for being alive, according to the one who created us. That's where it rests. You know, we hear all these silly ways of people coming up with personal identity. A non-African American saying she's African American. A lady claiming to be a cat. A boy born male claiming to be a female. There is a desperation for identity and value in our world. And it's so lost. Our world is so lost that it's settling for silly things. And church, we have the answer to that longing that our lost world has. We know what everyone is searching for and craving. We know everyone's identity and value. We have the message of Jesus Christ, our salvation through the life, death, and resurrection, our deep, satisfying life in abundance, which we were created for. We have that message. We have that answer. We need to get it out there to lost people, to show them who they are, who they really are, not this fallen world and its silly little things. But we also need to not only bring that message to the world, we need to keep preaching it to ourselves. We drift from this message. We drift from our identity in God and give it to someone or to something. You know, when we look at what we fear and what makes us anxious, what makes us sad, what hurts us, we often discover that it is rooted in an identity issue. You know, we fear sharing something personal with a small group of people because we think if they hear about this, if they know that this is what I'm thinking and feeling, I'm going to look stupid in front of them. And I don't want to look stupid in front of them. Or we are anxious about our work or about guests coming over to our house because we're scared that we're not going to measure up in other people's eyes. And that knocks down our identity and that knocks down our self-worth. We get sad because our kids are not living for the Lord, which we then interpret as us being bad parents. We are hurt when someone corrects us or calls us on our behavior because we always take correction as affirmation that we are messed up losers. You know what I mean? Do you get what this is saying? Our feelings, our fears, our anxiousness, our hurts, our sadness so often are linked to identity and self-worth issues. And we hear examples of how sin works out identity and self-worth through lying about your race or that you're a cat, not a human, or born a boy, born a girl and not a boy. We hear those examples, think that it's crazy and wrong, say all kinds of things about how sick our culture is, yet we live out that same wrongly placed identity as they are. But ours just looks clean and acceptable. You know, I am a pastor. That's who I am. And I place my identity there, and my self-worth is fed there. And if you say, good sermon, Edgar, good sermon, I'm this great pastor in my heart and in my mind. And if you don't say that, then all of a sudden I'm just crumbling in on myself. Oh, Lord, did you really call me here? This is all falling apart. Oh, and we are just shaken. We are shaken to the core because we have placed that value and that self-worth in something external, in the hands of people who are constantly changing what they like and how they think and how they feel. And that's wrong. Even though ours looks better than me calling myself a cat, even though mine looks better than that, it's the same thing. Same thing. Away from God, onto something here in this fallen world. There is no difference between that lady calling herself a cat and us identifying ourselves with our work, with our job, with our parenting, going there to find our reality, our identity, and our self-worth. As Christians, we are new creations, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just stop and think about that for a minute. I'm Edgar, I'm this pastor. What? That's useless and silly. I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. What are we doing holding up being a pastor compared to being bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? We have been radically changed by the sovereign Lord and creator of all. He didn't just adjust our lives. He killed our old sinful selves and made us new. No longer the same as before, searching for fulfillment in all kinds of things out there, but feeding on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, seeing ourselves standing before the throne of the sovereign Lord and hearing Him say, "You are found in Christ. You are mine. You belong to me." "Oh, but Lord, I'm a Canadian." No! What? You are my child, found in Christ. Church, don't come up with your own identity and self-worth. Don't place it in this fallen world, in fallen things, where trends and cultural popular things change, where people change. Place it in the Lord, who has always been and always will be, who knows everything. Place it in Him. Listen to Him. Go to the Word of God and listen to the sovereign creator of all tell you who you are. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is a message that we need to hear over and over again. We are drifters. We believe a bit for a while and then we drift away and place it in something else. Lord, help us. Help us. We don't want to do that. We don't want to place our value and our identity in work, in accomplishments, in titles, in what we think other people think of us. Lord, help us to stop playing that game. Let your church be known as people who are confident in who the Lord says that we are, not playing the game of one-upmanship and importance that the world holds out before us. Father, let us live out our identity, renew our minds and our hearts so that we glorify you and how we live out who we are. For your glory, we ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.